Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of In the Zone. I'm Giancarlo Olino, here as always with Anthony Pagniello and Chris Martelli. And guys, this past Saturday was something different again. WWE's continuing this trend here, the Saturday premier live events. And we saw Royal Rumble. Kind of a disappointing ending, I guess I'll say, with the men's match. A lot of hype was in that. All the surprise entrances that we thought we would see, but the women's match ended up being a little bit better than that. Overall, pretty decent card. We saw Brock versus Bobby, Seth versus Roman. I'll start off with you, Chris. What did you think of Royal Rumble as a whole this Saturday?
I thought it had its moments. I liked Roman versus Seth a lot. I thought that, I guess we'll get a little more into it afterwards. I don't know, but I thought that, you know, the whole ending between that was kind of like a payback for when Seth did it all those years ago, kind of goes back full circle. I really liked how they kind of hinted for numerous weeks that Roman was potentially dropping it, dropping the belt. They even put in our heads that maybe that the WWE title will go to SmackDown, but nope, it's not happening. Roman still is the Universal Champion. Look fucking solid, man, honestly, but in terms of the Rumble matches, I was actually really disappointed because, again, we were coming into this thinking that this could be arguably a top, like one of the better Rumbles of the last like 5-6 years because we were talking about unpredictability. But as soon as the rumors started ramping up about, you know, Ronda potentially returning and Brock potentially, you know, being in the Rumble and winning it, it just became a foregone conclusion. So to me, I know like all three of us had different picks for the Women's Rumble, but I remember, I think it was right after the pod, I saw Ronda rumored to come back and I was like, all right, that's your winner there. So other than that, man, like I thought the Brock and Bobby match, like we all three of us called that, I thought it was still a good match. Bobby doesn't know how to sell a German suplex. But other than that, you know, Bobby winning the title again, it kind of intrigues me. I don't know who's going to challenge him. But, other than that, it was, to me, I'll probably grade it like a C+. Wasn't the greatest Rumble, but a pretty average pay-per-view overall.
I don't think Bobby knows how to, like, he's never been manhandled like that. So him flying through midair, he's probably like, holy fuck, what the hell do I do? But, yeah, very average show. Not much to add there, buddy.
Yeah, love that starting off there. They had the nice little surprise, Seth Rollins, how the mind games. He comes out with the Shield music. Old Shield attire, goes through the crowd, flips over the barricade. And throughout the whole match, just in Roman's head. Do you think they should have kept doing that? Or after this feud, the way it ended in DQ, do you think it should end at Royal Rumble?
Oh, that's tough, man. A lot of people obviously want it to continue, but again, I don't know what direction they're going to go with Seth. We see now that he's in the chamber match for the WWE title, which is hilarious. He was just going for the Universal. Now he's going for the WWE, but he's that good. He's money. I don't know, man. I feel like this could potentially be a build for SummerSlam, unless Roman obviously leaves for maybe like a movie role. I don't know, but I do want to see Seth versus Roman down the line sometime for a belt because, yeah, just the way it ended, I know it came full circle, but Seth has to respond to that.
I'll say for now it's done. When you have two guys like Roman and Seth, like they always find their way back to each other. Like even the last couple of years when they were doing their own thing, we're like, oh, we're kind of surprised Roman and Seth kind of just one on one brand, one on the other. They haven't mentioned each other. So I think they'll kind of kill it for now, but in terms of SummerSlam, yeah, that might be a nice little build up around that time again.
Yeah, I think even Money in the Bank, because it's going to be in a stadium again, like where they had last year's SummerSlam. Do you think they should have maybe Seth versus Roman be the headline there, or would you like to see Seth be in the Money in the Bank and maybe win it and cash it in the next month?
Either one intrigues the shit out of me. I don't see Seth winning the Money in the Bank again, but Brock Lesnar's won the Money in the Bank. So anything can happen. I don't really see why neither can, you know, potentially happen, but I did like they do have history at Money in the Bank. I mentioned last week. I think that was the last singles match they had before. I mean, for like a main title, that is. I mean, I remember. Do you remember when it was a triple threat? It was Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns at what was that Battleground, and just so underwhelming. That was one of the only times they did that. So, but nah, man, I think they should maybe hold that off for a top four pay-per-view. So maybe SummerSlam is the better option there.
I was going to say, I feel like he's above the Money in the Bank, but like right as Chris, just as you started talking, I'm like, yeah, Brock won it. Fucking Randy won it years after. Cena won it years later. So I'm like, you know what? Seth with Money in the Bank would be hilarious, but I would like to see a one-on-one match. I want to see him close a show, preferably SummerSlam, but yeah, Money in the Bank, they obviously have tons of history in terms of that pay-per-view. So, yeah, as long as they pick it up again, fuck.
I will say, too, like, the last time that I remember Seth being as big as he could potentially be come to SummerSlam was when he beat Brock. And that was, dude, like, time's flying. That was already, like, 2.5 years ago. So Seth hasn't had his moment for a while. So I think he kind of has to have it. I know Roman's run has been just incredible. I don't know when they're going to plan on having him drop the title, but I think if there is one guy that can potentially beat Roman and it's acceptable to end the reign, I think it is Seth Rollins.
Yeah, would you be happy if his reign ends up going past WrestleMania? And I know him versus The Rock is a big rumor. Like, do you want that for the title that long, or should he just drop the title and just make it a non-title main event?
Take it.
For Roman to hold it past Mania?
Yeah, into next year. So it would add on close to 1,000-day reign.
I'm down for him to hold it past this Mania, and because he's doing probably the best fucking work of his career. And it also helps that he's not pulling a Bork from 2017 showing up every 4 months. So he's actually there putting in the work, but maybe not that long. But because he has it and he's doing amazing, I don't mind the title on him. So, a little while for Roman.
Yeah, I'll say 700 days, maybe like seven, like maybe just cracking 800, I think is the like should be the most for him. I know like 500 days is long. So the fact that we're potentially thinking about like 800 to 1,000-day reign, that's just a big, I don't want to say problem, but that's a huge risk, because we all know that the fan base, I remember when CM Punk even had the belt for a while, there were a couple fans that were not too happy about it. They wanted to see a new title change a couple times, and it never came. So I mean, it could happen. I you know, never say never, but like you mentioned, Roman Reigns, this is not Brock Lesnar's reign. He's there almost every week. He's just, oh man, like the stories that he keeps on creating, it's fresh, it's different. I love this run, man. Even if he goes to 800 days, like, to me it's not a problem. But like I said to you guys, I'm gonna predict it's probably, if it's not WrestleMania to Brock, which anything's possible at this point, he's freaking coming out every week, Brock. But like, yeah, I think Seth at SummerSlam would be the second best bet if it's not Brock at Mania.
Yeah, and speaking of Brock, he's been full-time, which is weird. Like, since last August, he's been on programming every week almost, and every pay-per-view almost. So he did double duty at the Rumble, wrestled against Bobby Lashley, goes in the Rumble. But Paul Heyman, that little snake, ends up leaving with Roman. What were your thoughts when that all went down? Do you think it was too soon for them to do that? Or would they have been better off holding it for Elimination Chamber?
You know what? Paul is not a credible guy. So when that fucking happened, I just started dying of laughter. I could see him flip-flopping for the next few months, honestly. But inevitably, like I said last week, he will end with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, man, we called it. I wasn't surprised at all when I saw Roman come out. I'm like, all right, Heyman's either just going to stand there and not do anything, and he's going to be revealed to maybe have told Roman to come out, or he's just going to walk out with him, and he walked out with him. So it's pretty funny to see. We've seen it in the past with the, remember the Big Show when he beat Brock Lesnar all those years ago. I think it's freaking hilarious. Just when Roman Reigns came out and speared him and you see the grin on his face, it was just so smug. It was freaking hilarious. And you never see Brock down like that. So, even the commentating behind it, like when he was down flat with his eyes closed and they're selling like the betrayal, they're like, oh, Heyman, you just made the biggest mistake of your life. So it's going to be entertaining. It, like we mentioned, man, they've been booking the shit and they've been promoting this for months now. Everybody wants to see Brock versus Roman Reigns. I mean, whether we hate to admit it or not, like these two guys have been carrying it. I'm not surprised, man. And I think, I don't know if he'll end with Brock Lesnar. I don't want to see Lesnar heel right now, but it's going to be interesting to see, unless Roman really like maybe spears Heyman or something. I don't really see them breaking up anytime soon.
Just picturing that.
Cause now we go on to the Rumble match. Actually, before we go to the Rumble matches, we'll just talk about that tag match real quick. Miz, Edge, they had this rivalry going on for a little over a month, going into that day one pay-per-view. This time it was a mixed tag. Was there anything that surprised you about it? Like, what'd you think overall now that this feud is probably over?
Well, you, buddy.
It's relieving, honestly, as disappointing as that is to say, because I am a great Edge fan and I love The Miz too over the years, what he's been able to do. But again, I mentioned before the pod went up, the placement of two of the matches on this card were just, it didn't do them any favors. Beth Phoenix did as much as she could. She's one of those women in WWE that can just put on a great match with almost anybody. She really tried her hardest here. I know Maryse, when she was in WWE and she was pushed as that Divas champion, she was still really, really raw. And you look at like at the Royal Rumble, just couldn't do much. I know other than the Hurricane Rana, I don't know how the hell she pulled that off, but Edge selling that beautifully was just hilarious. And they did have a couple moments there, but other than that, man, I just thought it was kind of rushed and it kind of fell flat. And like two marquee names, Edge and The Miz, they should be in something I think a little bit more memorable at a Royal Rumble. So to me, overall, just because of the two names and the aura that they bring, I think it was just a little disappointing.
Yeah, in hindsight, they probably could have done without the match. Going into it, though, I was kind of not excited, but I'm like, that's probably relieving for them. It's like you could still kind of keep the story going and involve Beth and Maryse, kind of like they did with fucking with Brie Bella and Brian a little before that. So, but yeah, it obviously, it didn't live up and the placement on the card was kind of iffy. So, yeah, boys.
And now, okay. Edge is probably going to be in another program. Whenever he comes back, he's on a different schedule, obviously, but The Miz, he was fighting with Dominic on Raw. Looks like maybe him and Ray could have a feud. Would you be open to that? Do you think they should do something else with The Miz?
Oh, man. I like it regardless. Rey Mysterio is also a name. He's a guy, like I mentioned to you 2 weeks ago, Aldino, that they should go the Kurt Angle approach with him once his career winds down. Maybe have like a little... I do like The Miz, though, being in this opportunity here, because I know The Miz, once he gets the ball rolling in any mid-card type of feud, he gets traction and it's over. Then he all of a sudden becomes that main event guy again. I think if you put The Miz in a storyline that has the potential to have as much charisma and just character in this Mysterio family betrayal, I think this could be absolutely outstanding. Can you... Guys, just picture for a second The Miz just getting in Dominic's head, just saying how Ray never cared about you. You know, it's all about him. I just feel like The Miz would be that type of guy. And I just feel like The Miz can just make anything work. I think if Ray does face The Miz here, I think that would be fine.
The Miz should just attack Dominic about not earning a place on the roster, and he should put him through tough enough style challenges on live TV. Boom.
Yeah,
that's fucking brilliant.
You know, Chris, you mentioned that he gets in Dominic's head. I want to see him get in Ray's head and turn Ray heel, beats up Dominic.
Just start saying to Ray, "Hey, Ray, I haven't seen you on week. I haven't seen you wrestle in a while. Dominic's taking your spots, eh?"
Using a frog splash, huh? That's not your move, is it?
So, Ray, I guess Dominic's the breadwinner, huh? And you're just the bitch.
Oh. We're done.
Oh, that would be great.
But going on now here, we started off with the Women's Rumble. That was the first one to take place, their second match of the night. But they had a lot more, I guess, surprises, you can say, that they didn't announce. Even though the whole match was filled with alums on their roster that they released either the last year, 2 years, or 10 years. But what'd you think of this one? Start off with Pinello, and what'd you think of the outcome?
Not surprised with the outcome, like we were kind of saying before. But, yeah, they got to step up on the Men's Rumble. Some surprises. I like Melina coming in there. That actually, that was probably the one that threw me off. Ivory coming, but when Ivory's theme hit, the fucking Right to Censored theme, I almost shit my pants. That was so funny. Probably the funniest part of the night for me. But yeah, it was like watching the Divas division back in 2011. It was nice to see some faces and a little sloppy, but I think it was better than the Men's Rumble. So I'd like Shayna coming out at 30. I wish her and Ronda had a little bit of a moment. I don't think Vince really gives a fuck or anything like that. They knew what they were doing from the first place, but decent rumble.
Absolutely. In terms of the entrances, this one put the men's to shame, because the surprises in this were kind of out of nowhere, because you always kind of figure Trish Stratus is going to be there, Lita, the big type of names. But some of the names that came out, like Kelly's another name, she came out at 4, and I just started laughing. I'm like, this girl looks like just the definition of a Barbie doll. And she's just coming out here and she's shaking her ass and she's freaking hilarious. And like you mentioned with Ivory, I was dying because, like, I'm watching it and my dad's like in the same room and he's like, "How old is that woman?" She's like old as shit. And when Rhea just threw her out, that was the funniest shit I've ever seen. But in terms of the names overall, like Mickie James, you know, coming in with the TNA title, I thought that was absolute. With the Impact title was just, that was awesome. I never, ever thought I would see that. I mean, the only disappointing thing for me in terms of the people coming back, Sarah Logan, I think, should have had a little more love. It's kind of like they teased it with Liv Morgan there, and then she just got eliminated, and it was kind of underwhelming. But, yeah, man, like you mentioned, I thought overall it was better than the men's. And to me, the surprise entrant that really, really surprised me and actually blew my mind was Aaliyah, how great she did in the Rumble.
Yeah, like this one compared to the men's match that we'll talk about later, but like it seemed like every entrant kind of made sense. Like they were furthering some storyline to it. Like when Mickey came out, it's because just going into the ring gets a pop, booked like a champion, which didn't look like the case, like not even 8 months ago when she was employed by the company. And then you had one off there, Natalia Summer Rae, their feud, they go and go back to that, but I don't know what they were thinking of in the other match, but I agree with you. I think this one actually did put the other one to shame. The surprises made sense. Ronda coming back was probably the safest match possible. She just had to stay in the corner and throw punches. So this is the safest return you can make, and I think they made the right call there. But going on to the Men's Rumble, started off AJ, Shinsuke, Pat McAfee going crazy on commentary. This looked like it was... It was going to be a good one. Those two would probably be in for the most part of the match, but Shinsuke gets eliminated early, and I don't know what the hell they were thinking with the Rumble order, but Shane McMahon comes in as one of the surprises at the end. Love seeing him come back, but ends up being one of the final entrants, which was crazy. Book's so strong. So start off with you, Chris. What'd you think about this whole debacle of a match?
The debacle was a debacle. It was a problem. I thought from the jump, it was just... I mean... okay, you're going to put AJ to start. That's great. But then you're going to have your Intercontinental Champion come out, who hasn't been promoted for, I feel like, forever. Forgot he was the Intercontinental Champion. Everybody's losing their mind. They hint at it just to have Shinsuke probably be the second guy eliminated. So if you're going to be the second guy eliminated in the match, second or first, whichever one it was, just get rid of the belt. Just drop, let him, have him drop it to like Sami Zayn. It's probably going to happen anyway, but like I don't know what they're doing with Shinsuke. The guy looks like he's also like just mailed it in too. I thought overall, you guys are going to laugh at me, the biggest bright spot in this match was Bad Bunny. This guy comes back again, and he absolutely dominates. He had a couple eliminations. He had his moments. I liked his interaction with Brock Lesnar. That was fun. To me, Bad Bunny was, again, just like last year's Mania. To me, he was one of the spotlights. That Canadian Destroyer, holy shit, that was absolutely incredible. I got to give all my credit to Bad Bunny again for just blowing my mind. And, of course, I absolutely love Drew McIntyre coming back at 21 and dominating Happy Corbin, because no one wants to see Corbin win. The guy's just I can't stand Corbin.
Guy's the fucking best. You gotta get Bad Bunny versus Stephen Amell at WrestleMania. Let's go.
But that'd be good.
In the words of Vince McMahon, no one gives a fuck about the Intercontinental Championship, and that's why they did Shinsuke like that. But the placement of these guys was so weird. I don't have it in front of me, but it felt like the final, I don't know, they were saving all the big names for like the final seven or eight, something like that. So the first like fucking three quarters of this Rumble, I just was kind of waiting. It kind of felt like a Raw Battle Royal for the longest time. I like Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn. That part was fucking jokes. They had some little storylines going on. I thought they did a better job with the women though overall. But yeah, maybe just watch the last fucking 12 minutes of this one.
I also liked freaking Ziggler coming out at 16, and they continuously talked about how he's a second all time in Rumbles, which I thought was really cool. But yeah, like you mentioned, like Randy Orton came out at 29, Kevin Owens at 22, Kofi Kingston. Let's talk about that for a second. Was that supposed to happen there, or did he slip?
Oh, I think he slipped. Yeah, we'll go and pass on that. He's got like 20,000 saves in the past. He's getting up there in age. I'll look past it.
But Alino, I got to ask this question, because to me, what I'm about to say is up there with last year's disappointment. Is Big E's Royal Rumble up there with last year's Alexa Bliss's? Because, man, I had so much faith in Big E, and just Randy came in and just tossed him out like it was nothing.
Yeah, like I don't know what they were. That was another one. Like he should have been a guy that was probably in there with Drew and Brock at the end, just based on his title reign and like Survivor Series and everything. That would have probably helped turn his momentum around. But yeah, I'm with you there. Shane McMahon, apparently he was the one responsible for booking the match the way he did, and why he looked so strong. And for looking online, like Bleacher Report put it out, that he was let go. I don't know how that works, even though he's like basically one of the owners of the company, all the shares he has. So I guess let go from TV is his punishment for that. But yeah, that was disappointing.
Big E got eliminated like when someone hot comes in and six guys get eliminated all at once. That's how Big E, like on the low, you didn't really notice. And then it happened and you're like, oh, great fucking job at building that up.
So. Yeah, because we were saying for weeks, I remember when he lost the title, me and Alina were saying, yeah, you know, he had a great run. You know, it wasn't a cup of tea. It was 3-4 months. But like, is that it? Is this now where he goes back? Because I know, Pinello, you said he's like a top tier mid-carder. He's not a main eventer. But the way that they built him up the last like year, and then you have him do that. Like, come on, I know he won the Money in the Bank and he cashed in and, you know, it wasn't like organically built, but, you know, he faced Roman Reigns at that, was it at Survivor Series? He hung it up with him. I thought that was amazing. You know, he got it into it with Brock Lesnar a couple times. Like, and then just to get thrown out by, like, okay, I get it. It's Randy Orton. It's in St. Louis, but. To me, it was just, that to me was the biggest disappointment. When that happened, I was just kind of, I wasn't like tuned out, but it was just kind of like, what the fuck, man? Like, why would you do that to a guy like Big E? He was literally in it for about a minute 30. It's just like those type of things just baffle me. And even when Brock came out at 30, I love the guy. He absolutely deserved to win it, but he just tossed out Riddle like nothing. He tossed a bunch of guys out like it was nothing. I know it's Brock, but a little more competitive, I think, at the end would have made it a little better.
Do you think they should play off the Big E one? Because that, like, everyone was going to remember that for a little while. Do you think they should play with that a little, or just fucking leave it in the past?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Really,
like, play with it. If you mean play with it, do you mean make him like sort of an underdog? Like, he's got to build his way up.
He could just fuck Randy up from behind. I don't know. You would really change a lot of things. But to have Big E get eliminated like that, it's a lot of questions that need to be fucking answered. So just picture him like a couple weeks from now, just absolutely beating the shit out of Randy, and Matt and Riddle's not there for some reason. And just Big E snapping on him because it was his moment and he goofed it.
I could see if they really want to spice up the tag division, if you really want to have Big E, just take out that animosity on Randy, you can maybe have the New Day turn heel, like, slowly again. I think that would be interesting. But I think Big E, like, if you do that, Pinello, you have to do that, I think, for a WrestleMania program, because Big E versus Randy Orton, especially the year like we mentioned with Randy, just the consistency, like, that would be pretty good. I think that would sell some seats for a WrestleMania. So that, I know, like, you think firsthand Big E versus Randy Orton, that doesn't sound like the most profitable Randy match, but I think that can do the job at a WrestleMania.
Yeah, Big E. I think he's on SmackDown, which is weird. Like, they just basically traded him to SmackDown for future considerations, it seems like. They announced that he's officially part of the brand, and there was no...
What was this?
I think it was last week. They just said, oh, now he's officially on the blue brand, but like, you would think the former champion of Raw would have a more of a bigger deal type of trade for SmackDown. So, like, I don't know what Raw would get back. Like, maybe they was... It was their way of just giving Seth and Big E on SmackDown, and then Seth goes back to Raw. But I think this thing is with Big E's all weird now.
Do you think they don't trust him as a main event guy?
They don't trust anyone unless your name's Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar. Let's be real.
True shit.
Everyone will have their moments here and there, like. I feel like everyone's a transitional champion, as great as everyone is. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, so how is this guy going to lose it so Roman can go here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Damn. And you think the ending was a little underwhelming with Drew and Brock, considering like the last Rumble they had with fans, it was a big moment in it. Drew eliminating Brock, WrestleMania with no one there in the Performance Center, and now first time they're in the ring, and kind of ended in like less than 2 minutes. Should that have been like a 5 to 10 minute one back and forth with those two?
Yeah, they should have done what Chris Jericho and Sheamus did in 2012. They should have went for like 7-8 minutes straight, but they didn't. And yeah, I think that's exactly how it should have went, because Drew McIntyre now is just, he's like a tier under Brock Lesnar right now.
We didn't even expect him, right? So last week, we're like, oh, he's close, but we don't expect Drew to come out. And then he came out. And then, yeah, that was a moment right there. Like, you got to have little moments within the Rumble, and they goofed on fucking so many of them. To have Brock and Drew in the same Rumble match again and not capitalize on that, like, it's another head-scratcher.
Yeah, that like, especially at the end, too. Like, they're just the way that Drew's been built up the last, what, 2 years? Is it already, maybe even more than that? When he came that back, what, 2018, 2017, like, he's been almost perfectly booked. So, I mean, Drew's already been doing it. He's already been at the top of his game for, what, 3 years now. So, yeah, them goofing the ending to me was probably the biggest disappointment for sure.
Oh, yeah, and he was also with Braun Strowman, Shane McMahon's bodyguard. It was Strowman, Drew McIntyre, and Baron Corbin. What a stable. Just picture,
was it the Hounds of War?
Holy shit.
The Dogs of War? That's funny.
Man.
But then the next night, which was another one that was weird, Brock Lesnar looks like just showed up. He went to bed in full gear, woke up in his gear, went to the arena in his gear, and demanded to be put in the Elimination Chamber match, and he got his wish. He said he's going to challenge Roman for one title at WrestleMania, and he wants to get a rematch in there at the Elimination Chamber. And this one, now they have the time posted. Last night, or on Monday, they didn't say what time this event was going to be, so Saturday at 12 in the afternoon is when it's going to start on February 19th.
I love Riddle, that.
Seth, Brock, Bobby, AJ, and Austin Theory, who I guess was a fill-in for Shane McMahon. What do you think of this match?
Kick it, buddy.
That's a good-looking fucking match right there. I mean, I expect Brock to come in last and absolutely fucking wreck everyone, but yeah, and you know what? I'm not even writing that off yet, man. I still feel like Theory can be replaced. I know all the news is coming out with Shane. I'm not writing it off. It's going to be fucking Edge and Kofi Kingston style. That's how Shane's going to enter the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, God, I'm not. I am praying that does not freaking happen, man. Get Shane out of here. This guy has grays everywhere. Get out of here, man. I don't want to see this guy anymore. Holy shit. If Austin Theory gets replaced, make it The Miz, man, because the last guy, the guy that, like, Bobby Lashley beat him. I think he's still a little pissed off. Put The Miz in there. Not Austin Theory, but, yeah, in terms of who's winning this match, man, I want to see AJ win this. I just – AJ or Seth, because, like, Alino, you put it in my head. You teased it. Now I got to see it. I'm going to say AJ Styles wins this one in a just a very, very – shocking thriller, I think, at the end. I think AJ is going to do something here that we don't expect. And you know what, man? You say Lesnar last. I say he opens. I say Lesnar opens the Rumble, and I say he opens it with Seth Rollins.
I like it. That's different. I'll say Seth and AJ open those fucking Iron Men.
Oh, my God. That would be great.
Yeah, if Brock opens, I think it's going to be with Riddle, and I think that's Riddle getting thrown through all four pods. Because there's some history, apparently, with those two. Riddle tagging him on Twitter constantly pissed him off, but they're working together now, so I guess they're past it. But I don't know, would Bobby, if he loses a title, it would be less than a month of a reign again. So Lesnar would have had it for 25 days. And Lashley would have had it for, let's say, 20. Do you think it would make the title, I guess, less relevant going into WrestleMania?
Absolutely, it should. But it won't, because I think everyone's aware of the big picture. The penciled-in big picture. These things seem to change all the time. But, yeah, Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll say no. Just looking at the people even in this match. Like, if AJ wins, if Seth wins, if Bobby retains. I even think, like, a lot of people are saying Bobby retaining is an underwhelming option, but I think if Bobby were to retain his title and go on to WrestleMania, have that meaningful feud, maybe WWE put all their eggs in the basket, maybe you can go Big E versus Lashley one more time. But I really like, dude, we've been saying this for months now. I want to see AJ Styles turn face. He was supposed to when almost turned on him, but I guess that didn't happen. I want to see a face AJ take on a heel Bobby if Bobby's going to retain here. But right now I'm pretty sure Seth out of all these guys is also still, I want to say, a face. So maybe Seth is the guy that kind of gets the WWE title here, because we were also saying he could potentially win the Universal title from Roman.
Rollins.
Do you think they should do a multi-man match for one of the world titles, or should they go back to having singles match? Because last year was supposed to be Roman versus Edge only, and then Daniel Bryan got inserted to it. And for what it was good, the build-up and everything. Edge kind of turned heel, but would you prefer them doing two single matches for their world titles?
Which one are we adding to?
Oh, probably.
I'd say, I would say WWE. Yeah, WWE for sure.
Yo, I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
I feel like there's a lot more options. Obviously, they put all their eggs in one basket with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Like that's been the matchup for, I want to say, 7 months now, and it's happening. That's slated. In terms of Bobby and this whole Elimination Chamber, I'm very intrigued. I'm actually very happy because usually by this time you relatively know both title matches. You relatively do. You have a hunch, but right now with the WWE title, I mean, what would you say? I guess I'll ask Alino. I'll ask you this question. Like, in terms of it, if it is a multi-man, who are those guys that can be inserted? Because that's what intrigues me the most. Is it AJ? Is it Seth? Is it Big E? Like, who are the guys that could potentially be inserted in that match?
I would put Edge and The Miz AJ and Seth. Make it like a, if they want to go with a fatal four-way, if one of them take the title, you can have Lashley go on and maybe face Riddle or Randy Orton. And if he retains, you can still put Edge in it and make it a fatal four-way. So I'd go with both those guys or one of those guys.
Do you think AJ or Seth are walking out of this on the way up going into WrestleMania, or do you think this is just a pit stop for them and just another body to add to a match? Because I don't know with Rollins and AJ, because they do have the name, but I really don't know what type of match they can put on or program. I think it could be like a last second thing, like what we saw with Rollins and Owens a couple of years ago. But nah, man, they're too big and time is ticking. I think Rollins and AJ, I think they need marquee matches this year at WrestleMania.
Rollins is the modern day Mr. WrestleMania. So if I had to pick between the two, it would probably be AJ with the little pit stop. But yeah, when you just think of those two guys, like, you imagine they're in prominent roles at that time.
And what do you do with Austin Theory? If let's say he comes in the final three guys here, if he manages to last that long, do you give him a big match at WrestleMania, or do you ease him into it with an Andre the Giant battle royal?
You gotta put him in a match. You don't put him in an Andre the Giant. I mean, he's still young. It's tough to tell by now because look what they did with Fandango all those years ago. It's hard to. A lot of these guys that come in and they're fresh and they're new and they're on a roll. Like, even remember Ali, like all those years ago when he came up and like everyone's like, oh, Ali's going to have that run. And then, yeah, Kofi Kingston comes in and ruins it all. But I don't know with Theory, man. Like, if he does get that match at WrestleMania, it's probably against Damian Priest. Like you said it perfectly. It's either Damian Priest for the U.S. title, a six-man ladder match that he's involved in, or the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
They need to take out that fucking Battle Royal, man. I don't know about you guys, but I hate it. All the leftovers, fuck it. You're all in one match. Get on the card. It's WrestleMania. Why don't you try earning your goddamn spot? So, hypothetically, if he's in that fucking Battle Royal, he better be the highlight of it. With his fucking taking selfies with everyone after he eliminates them and then jumps back in the ring.
Yeah, that was another one I'm gonna throw by here. Vince McMahon and Austin Theory have been involved backstage and all those little segments. Imagine Vince McMahon helps him win the title. He's got his Austin, his new Austin.
Holy He's gonna hold the shit. Title
to close the show.
Alino, you gotta get hired, man, by WWE. That was crazy. I didn't even think of that. The new Austin. I could see him yelling that to close a Raw. And the new WWE champion, the new Austin Theory.
I could see Vince putting him with a pretty sweet manager, though. I don't know. Because he is Vince's boy. So maybe he's got long-term plans for him. So I wouldn't count out an IC or US title reign down the line, depending on what brand he's on.
He's either going to turn out to be a Roman Reigns or he's going to be just another Mark Jindrak.
The second you saw him, you're like, yeah, young Randy Orton, 19-time world champion coming up. Let's go.
Oh yeah, dude, he has all the characteristics. He's going to be great. I'm not worried.
Yeah, there like another match here in this that could be coming up like with Riddle. Like, I don't know if they're going to split him and Randy up and they'll use a chamber, but I think Riddle and being in this and not Orton is kind of like telling us something. Like, I don't know, maybe Orton's like injured or just using this, but you think it's surprising that Riddle's in this match instead of Orton?
Absolutely. I when I saw this, I was stunned, honestly, because like we mentioned, since 2020, since this whole pandemic started, out of all the guys that I thought would take a back seat and kind of relax, Randy Orton has taken it the other way. This guy became extra motivated. He was in that feud with Edge. That was absolutely incredible. Turned the clocks back. Feuds with The Fiend, that was fun. and then the stuff with Riddle, just absolutely outstanding. I think if anybody should be replacing anybody here, it might be Randy Orton, maybe RKOing Austin Theory, and maybe how about Randy Orton gets inserted in this one instead of a guy like Shane McMahon, because to me now that makes a lot of sense. Can you just imagine Randy just coming in maybe on Raw, just RKOing Austin Theory, maybe punting him, maybe, I don't know, just beating the shit out of him, going up to Vince saying, hey, I've always been your guy. Put me in that match. My tag team partner's in there. And then, bam, you have a storyline moving forward. So I'm going to ask you guys this question. When the hell does Randy Orton get inserted into this match? Because, damn, I think it's too good to be true. I think it has to happen.
Oh, man. Night of.
Still saying that Shane in there, so I'm going to say he's not inserted in it.
Oh, man.
But
can you imagine that? All this, all these rumors and all this talk of him being gone. Meanwhile, they're just playing the wrestling sites and Bleacher Report.
Like they always do. What are the chances, though, that Randy went to Vince and he's like, hey, I've been in like 14 of these. You think I can take a pass this year? What are the chances Randy did that in all seriousness? Because I feel like he would.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like that's very logical. Yeah, he's been in a lot of them.
Like, listen, I'll find my way to Mania. I'm not worried. Don't put me in this fucking match, please.
Oh, man. Probably. I never know. But yeah, they're making money. They already had a stadium show like not even a week ago. They got a stadium show planned 2 weeks later. Man, they're pulling in bank. And then they have WrestleMania 200,000 seat arena for both nights. They'll probably have like at least 160,000 seats sold. So business looks like it's booming. Good for him. But speaking of stuff that's booming, the NHL All-Star Game and weekend isn't booming. We got news here that Ovi's going to be out of it. Chris, I'll start with you. What do you think the NHL can do now that Alex Ovechkin's not part of the weekend?
Oh, man, that's a big blow. I think the perfect replacement, and I know it's not going to happen, but they've been connected since the jump. I got to go with Sidney Crosby. If they really want to lessen the blow here with Ovi not going, I think maybe just quietly say, well, you know who else is good? You know who else has been great for 15, 17, 16 years? Sidney Crosby. Everybody loves him. Everybody knows him. Why doesn't he go in? I mean, relatively, first thing you think of when you think of All-Star, you think of Ovi and Crosby. I think Sidney Crosby should go this year. He's got 40 points in 34 games. He's just looking rejuvenated, coming off of that surgery in the offseason. He also battled COVID. So, I mean, Crosby's had his fair share of hurdles, and he just continues to just strive, him and Letang specifically. I think Crosby should be the replacement if the NHL was smart enough, but I doubt it.
How many has Crosby gone to?
I want to say like three.
I don't see it, man. I want to agree with you so bad because it's Sidney fucking Crosby. And it's the All-Star game, and they just kind of go together. But, like, do they ever? I don't know, man. I want to see it so bad because he has, I don't know how many. He'll probably make it every year till he retires, but who else is I don't know if you guys have it. Who else is snubbed here? Other names.
Oh, Panarin. Panarin to me is he's the other guy that should be on the team, but he's not. So
that's probably the next one up for me. I'll go with Artemi over Sid just based on the fact that I don't think Sid would want to go straight up.
Very realistic.
It happens. How many times have guys gotten, this guy's going to get suspended one game? They're like, give a fuck, it's one game. We're clinched for the playoffs anyways.
Yeah, that is true. But I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like over the years, maybe Crosby only did that to avoid injury and he knew he was maybe in his prime. I don't know. I mean, obviously he's always voiced that if he wants to take some time off, he obviously will. But I feel like this is the year where like they need to kind of promote it a little more. We've been talking about this for years now, how the All-Star game has kind of been lacking that substance. And it's the marquee names. Like, we talked about it a couple of years ago when guys like Ovi and Crosby would openly voice, like, I don't want to go. I'm not going to it. And we were thinking, like, is a fine a good option? Like, how about a suspension? Like, is that really a good idea? Because they do have the pull in this league. They have been around for a decade and a half just dominating. But I don't know. I'll ask this question. I guess I'll start with Alino. Like, what do you do to improve the All-Star game? They're doing the same thing. Do you go back to 5-on-5? Because I want, like, they do have the East versus West jerseys this year, and I'm totally here for that. But they got to get rid of this 3-on-3 divisional tournament. I don't like it. I think it's very video gamey. I just feel like it's very gimmicky. I don't like it. Just go back to 5-on-5, East versus West, classic type of stuff. I think they should go back to that.
Yeah, I think they just did it to experiment with something, but it kind of takes away, like, you're trying to sell your league, and if they see it's 3-on-3, someone who doesn't really watch the NHL, they're going to think all the games are like that. Then when they tune in, they'll see, what's this 5-on-5 nonsense? So, I don't know. I think they should do East versus West, and for something for Saturday, I'd get rid of, like, most of the skills contests. Do an alumni game. So you have like a Gretzky, a Lemieux, Jagr, Lindros, get those guys all in and celebrate all the past greats, and you can sell in, like, that would be the thing on Saturday that everyone will look forward to. And then the Sunday, you have all the legends there watching this league, this generation's talent. So if there's one thing I would change to maybe get some more excitement, would be adding a legends game on Saturday.
You know what? For me, the one thing I would change is not every team needs a representative.
Absolutely. Like, when I think of,
man, it just busts my balls. You think of the All-Star game, it's the best of the best. Nick Suzuki on a fucking 8-win team this year is not the best of the best. Lucas Raymond's having a year, but there's probably 10 other fucking guys I could pick off the fucking the snub list. Like, Dahlin and Shabbat are here, good young players, but like, fuck, really? Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the biggest, I think, blunder this year, is you're looking at a lot of the guys, and don't get me wrong, I'm not discrediting any of them. Suzuki might be a future captain in this league, but as of right now, he is not an all-star caliber player. Clayton Keller has bounced back tremendously. Pagniello, you know how much I've griped about him the last couple of years, but he's still not an all-star. I don't think anybody on Arizona really is. And that's the thing. A lot of teams do not have all-star players. Dahlin, he could be an all-star in a couple of years, but not happy. Like, even guys like, I got to bring it up. I know you guys are going to laugh, but Joe Pavelski, he's in the all-star game. He's 37 years old. He's turning back the clock. But guys like Jason Robertson, Rupe Hintz, they're carrying Joe Pavelski. And they're not getting the love. A lot of people are getting discredited. Nazem Kadri and Roman Josi are replacements. To me, that's baffling. Like, that, like, that's Nazem Kadri, arguably, I know this is going to sound hilarious, guys, he's a top 10 player this year, no doubt. But absolutely incredible. Roman Josi has been a top 3 defenseman, I think. I don't know if that's correct. I mean, there's Makar, Hedman, and Fox. But Yossi's right there. He's in the mix. So, like, yeah, I agree with both of your points. I'll start with Alino. I know, because Pagniello, you talked about it. Like, teams like Philadelphia, teams like Montreal, teams like Arizona, where is the limit with teams that are contending that have these superstars? What's the max you think for per team for this All-Star game? Because we know that it deserves the best of the best. Like, Tampa Bay has arguably five All-Stars. Do you have all five of those go? Is there a limit set? What do you think if it's not every team?
I would say maybe three. Like three of the best on best, because it is best of the best. And like, I think five would be too much. I think that's when you go on the pecking order of the team, which guy's actually the best on the team. And I would say three, but yeah, I'm with Pagniello. I think when you have a team that has eight wins, have an All-Star on it in the All-Star game, I think it kind of devalues it. Like, this isn't a participation award. Like, if you're going to be an All-Star, that's something that you market yourself around, and it helps the league to show that this is actually one of the best in the league. So yeah, Suzuki can obviously become that, but on an 8-win team, I think that should take you out of the running there.
And another thing too that upset me in our division specifically was guys like William Nylander, who have just been on a tear, having a career year. His shots per game are up tremendously. You could tell he's a lot more confident. But dude, you said Lucas Raymond made it. I don't even think it was him. I think it was Tyler Bertuzzi, and he's fourth on the team in scoring. It's not even Dylan Larkin. So, like, shit like that, when I see that, it just bothers me. And even, I love Bergeron. Why the hell is he on the All-Star game and on the All-Star team and not Marchand? That just baffles me, too. Like, there's just so many wrongdoings in terms of the roster this year that I think Bettman has to look at it next year and say, okay, we gotta change guidelines. We got to do something different. But how about in terms of the actual game in itself? Do you think, like, the three-on-three? Because we know that it's getting more and more skilled every year, the league. Like, do you keep the three-on-three just based off of the player showing their skill? Or would you rather just have it as a hard-fought, best-of-the-best, five-on-five? Because I know a lot of guys that want to do both sides. It's definitely hard to read, but what do you guys think on that?
I feel like as long as it's semi-competitive, you won't get much of an argument. Like, I'm down for three-on-three. If they want to switch it up like every other year, that's cool. But like, the main thing for the All-Star game is fucking, you can noticeably tell when guys aren't trying. So for me, when I see guys put an effort in, I'm like, okay, I could sit here for 5 hours and watch this. Because there's like fucking, when they do the three-on-three, it's like three rounds. And then there's like 20 minutes in between. You got to wait, and oh my God. So. But to your last question, though, when you mentioned Tampa Bay, if you have like fucking Vasilevsky, Hedman, Stamkos, Kucherov, and Point all having those type of years, I'd fucking throw all of them in the All-Star game, honestly. It would really depend on the year.
Yeah, and in terms of, like, this is going to bring up another point that I actually wanted to bring up not too long ago in regards to basketball, was the All-Star game last year, when Kobe Bryant passed away, and you know, they did the tribute, or not last year, sorry, 2 years ago, that All-Star game, man, that was probably the best All-Star game I've ever witnessed. Do you think the NHL players have to look at that fourth quarter and say, holy shit, like, this is the best of the best going full tilt? Like, what do you think that motivated them at all? Or do you think that's more of the league holding them back? Because if I'm a guy like a Connor McDavid or an Alex Ovechkin, who's, you know, at the tail end of, I mean, I don't know if Ovi's at the tail end, he's like fifth in scoring, but he's 36, 37 years old. Do you think those type of guys want to go into an All-Star game if they're selected and face guys like McDavid, Eichel, like all these guys full tilt? Because if I'm a Joe Pavelski and I'm selected in the All-Star game, I would love to go full tilt and see what everyone can do at their elite level. And like, do you think that ever comes across like the NHL players' minds, or do you think it's more of the ho-hum star level type of foolery? Because I don't really know anymore with the All-Star game in the NHL. It's really disappointing, but I don't know anymore.
Yeah. Take it, buddy.
Yeah. Like, I guess just the like add on there, like what you mentioned there about the NBA, like maybe another thing they can do is have, every period be like a series. So if you win the first period, that's one score. Second period's another score, and third period's another one. You combine it all the totals at the end, or you can even do it if both teams split period one and two. You can have period three be a three-on-three type of scenario. So I think they just have to play around with the format. Like, I don't like the three-on-three tournament because you got to wait 20 minutes between every single game, and by the time it gets to the final, you don't even want to watch it anymore. So they got to do something that keeps everyone's attention span on that, I guess, best of three. Have a concert in between, like when Snoop Dogg came in and just had cussing every 2 seconds, and looked like Gary Bettman was a little pissed off. But if they can do that, find something in between, I think it will be popular again.
No, it seemed like they cut off half the audio. Is it fucking
definitely.
But yeah, honestly, I don't know what the fuck they have to do. Maybe they could change it every year to keep it exciting. They probably should watch that that All-Star game from the NBA last year, or was it 2 years ago? But because like that game was fucking amazing. No one could guard Embiid. Everyone was going full strength. But it really just comes down to no one wants to get injured. And that's it. Obviously, like that'd be worst case scenario. Picture your fucking star player tearing his ACL at a fucking charity game. So that's what it all pretty much comes back to.
I know, but I know they did it for Kobe Bryant. The big tribute was for him, and you know, Kobe always went full tilt. It didn't matter. I know that was the narrative there, but I feel like if they do have objectives or objectives in the game, I feel like that can motivate them. I know that everything, you know, happens for a reason. Injuries happen. They're a part of the game, but I feel like that it's just a part of sport. I feel like you have to take that risk. If I'm if I'm an owner, it's like, okay, like I'm proud to say you're in the All-Star game and I want you to just go and do your best and be your best. Cause I don't want you to go out there and just, you know, be having fun and dangling and getting 7 assists in a 16-11 win. Like, it's just like, it's not fun to me. It's very gimmicky. I've never liked gimmick hockey. Personally, you know, we've grown up in like basically the 90s to early 2000s watching hockey. It's just something that I have never really been able to adjust to. That's just my opinion. That's why I want to go back to the 5-on-5, going full tilt. Just like I need to see it. I want to see Barzell, McKinnon, Rantanen, and Pat, like all of them out there going full tilt, because that would probably never, ever leave my mind ever again if I see something like that.
Real quick, is McKinnon out of the All-Star game now, since you brought that name up?
Oh, yeah, he's out.
Yeah, you're so replacing him.
No Nate and Ovi. There you go. Shit.
It's all good. Our boy Austin's there.
Oh, yeah, he's going to carry the whole weekend. Carry the league on his shoulders.
With his mustache.
Poppy's got it.
So much charisma over there. God bless.
Appreciate ya.
Oh, man. Well, I guess we'll end on this note. Going into the All-Star weekend, who do you think will be the player of the gimmick weekend, player of the game, and that All-Star East versus West 3-on-3?
Oh,
I'm going to go with Nazem Kadri. It's extremely biased.
I'm gonna go with the red hot Russian there, Kirill Kaprizov. I think he's gonna show out his skills. I have him in fantasy. He's been an absolute problem. So I'll say Kaprizov. He's just a menace in open ice.
I'm gonna say Austin Matthews. They're in Las Vegas. He's gonna show out over there in that game.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The town when it's all over. So I'll go Austin Matthews.
Those are all good picks.
Well, this was fun. Episode 164. Anything else you guys want to add there before we close this out?
Go Leafs, go.
I was just going to say that. Go Leafs, go. Absolutely killing the Devils the last two games.
It was a combined score like 14 or 13 to...
It was like 13 to 4 or 13-2. Something.
Well, that's an All-Star score we're going to see. Yeah, the Leafs.
Mitch Marner's finally scoring every game, looking like Ovi. What's going on?
It's because he's a good pro.
Bunch of good players.
Family.
He gave out that list of the top five worst players, and look at him now. Great player.
Boy, Mitchie. Well, that's all for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you next week. We'll talk about this amazing All-Star Weekend. Thanks a lot.